it is great to be home. This is a homecoming for us. My family, if you'll stand, my mom's actually here this morning. Mom and my sister, my brother. You guys, family, go ahead and stand. I want you guys, they're hurting over here in this one small spot. Good to see you guys, and I'll get, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to pick up, Brother Jordan was telling me where you guys have been trotting lately. And so I'd just like to pick up right where you guys have stopped last week, the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's page 895. And I really do believe if you come to church just for barbecue, you come to church for the wrong reason. Amen? So if you take a copy of God's Word, because you'll leave out of here dumber than you came in if you don't hear from God. Is that true?
True.
You'll leave out of here with something. If you just hear me, you've heard the wrong person. You need to hear from the Holy Spirit speak to you through the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit, married together with God's Word, will give you and take you to another place that God wants you to be. He'll help you grow up spiritually and mature. So I know you guys spent a lot of money on this place. And so there's Bibles. I just looked. There's Bibles under every seat. Page 895 have been provided for you. Let's read together God's Word. And I'd like to pray and get right into a simple message today that we've heard so many times. And I want to show you why it's simple. How many has been to more than one homecoming here at Talitha? Raise your hand. Who's been more than 10 homecomings? Raise your hand. Who's been more than 20? 30? Who's got the record? How about 40 homecomings? Is there people behind me? Sandra's up. 50 homecomings? I'll stop there. Brother Jordan, you got some gifts to give out or something. You got an extra plate of barbecue for Sandra up here and a bunch of those keys. I know they're here. So I told Mr. Key when I rolled in, I said I was looking for a smoker smoking, rolling smoke out back with a bunch of keys standing around it, and I didn't see that. He said, a little different today, so it is good to be home. Let's read God's Word together. Isn't it great to read God's Word together, to pray together, to sing together, and to eat together? That's basically, Acts chapter 2, that defines the church. And let's get into it, and let's see what God's Word said. So Mark chapter 8, and I like to pick up in verse 22, and we'll go through verse 30. Mark 8, 22 through 30. Then they came to Bethsaida. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and he brought him out of the village. And this is Jesus, by the way, we're speaking about. So he took the blind man by the hand and he brought him out of the village, spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him. He asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking." Again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes and he saw distinctly. He was cured and could see everything clearly. Then he sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." And Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," still others, "one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them again, "who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah," or "you are the Christ." And he strictly warned them to tell no one. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit as we sing to you and as we read your word, Lord, as we understand that you've given us a strict command to fulfill the Great Commission. Father, many times we've been disobedient in this, and as we come today to hear your word, Lord, let us hear from you directly. Let us hear from heaven as you've written your word, not only in our hearts, but also on the text here for us to read in our language today. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, at Town Creek, sometimes we talk back a little bit with each other. We have an opportunity to fill in the blanks. We have an opportunity to say amen. And if God speaks to you this morning, then you answer back, amen. Amen just means yes, yes, that is true, okay? That's what amen means. Well, look at God's word as we get into it. Jesus performed a miracle causing a blind man to see. Is that elementary enough?
Amen.
Many times at our church, when I run into people, they say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't read the Bible because I don't quite understand it." Well, that's a foolish statement if you've ever made that statement. There's only two reasons you don't understand God's Word. Number one, you don't read it. That's why you don't understand it. Or number two, you're a lost man, woman, or boy, or girl. The Bible says a natural man or a natural woman cannot understand God's Word. God's Word is given by a supernatural God, and you have to be indwelled by the supernatural Holy Spirit to actually understand His Word. So if you don't understand the Word of God, there's something wrong with you. Amen? You guys should be in a big place for an amen. There's something wrong with you if you don't understand God's Word. Either you're not reading it, or you're not a Christian. Is that simple? Well, you have a King James Bible. Today, I'm reading out a Christian Standard Bible. You guys, that's what you guys have put in the church. It's another translation. The King James is written on the 11th grade reading level. But let me tell you, like we did our church, so some people I just wanted to eliminate from the church. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy, who is it talking to? Talking about? Your word, God, your word I've hidden in my heart. So thy is easy to understand. Some people say, Pastor, I don't understand all those these and thous. Unto thee, O Lord, will I lift my eyes. Who are we talking about? You, Lord. Is that easy enough? Thy is God, thee is God. Even enough, right? These and thous. Don't ever say to a preacher, I don't understand the Bible calls those these and thous in there. That's the dumbest mistake you'll ever make to a preacher if he's thinking. It's because you don't understand a basic understanding. You haven't read the word or you're a lost person. So is that clear this morning?
Yeah.
All right, now let's see what he says. This is a miracle, and Jesus does miracles. And what I love about Jesus and what I love about God and I love about his word, he's so plain and simple. It's 99.9% of the Bible is vanilla. You can get it, and God will give it to you clearly if you just read and actually ask for understanding. There are some things in the Bible that are mysteries. And the Bible says you'll never know those mysteries, but so many people get hung up and want to know the mysteries. If the Bible says you won't know the mysteries, guess what's going to happen? You will never know the mysteries that God has hidden. He told Daniel to lock up, and many people spend their life trying to figure out the mysteries. Maybe it's a math formula. Maybe it's something that we need to figure out. Listen, work on the 99.9 that God's given to you very clearly and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and change the world for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Well, here's a miracle, and I love that Jesus spit. Men, I don't know if ladies, maybe you do it, but when we were kids, we spit all the time. I've probably wasted gallons out here on this property. Baseball fields, football fields. We used to use sunflower seeds, and I never could chew tobacco. I tried it when I was 8 years old. I swallowed a whole wad of Red Man. It makes me gag to smell it today. So, but I tried it, and I wanted to do it, but everybody else where I'm from, Pauline, South Carolina, chews tobacco. But I couldn't do it, and I swallowed it one time, and I ate three bowls of chicken soup before I chewed that tobacco, and I ate three bowls of chicken soup after I chewed that tobacco. If you understand what I mean. And then I joined the Navy, and I want to tell you, seasickness is the same as chewing tobacco sickness. It's exactly the same, that vertigo and that upset stomach, all that goes with it. I learned the hard way. I don't like either one of them. I joined the Navy for 4 years, so that was I was not the brightest one on the bunch. Look what Jesus does. Here Jesus spits. And if the kids were in here, I'd want to tell them this. Listen, Jesus spit three times that we have written down in Scripture. That this time, Brother Jordan talked to me about where you guys were in Mark, and then I said, I'll just pick up where you guys left off with the leaven of the Pharisees last week, he told me, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll just jump right in. Well, he gave me the hardest passage of Scripture with least clarity that you can get into. The next passage is hard. So many people argue over this passage of Scripture saying, well, did Mark have an eyewitness account, or did Peter tell Mark? The bottom line is, I believe God's Word is God's Word.
Amen.
And I believe when I read it, I can trust it. We're teaching our kids in our academy right now that this is actually the authoritative source for what I believe.
Amen.
When I come to something and somebody says, well, I don't believe the homosexual, I believe you can be a homosexual and a Christian. The Bible calls homosexuality a sin. The Bible calls adultery sin. The Bible calls all sin, sin. And you say, well, I don't like that. I disagree with it. Our culture won't stand for that. Well, your culture, listen, and our culture is always at odds with the Word of God. God's Word will last forever. It does not matter what you believe if you believe something contrary to the Word of God. Do you understand? This is the authoritative source by which we get God's holy word. He won't argue with you. He's not going to make a deal with you. This is his word. He'll stand by his word 100% of the time. So you can stand when you preach God's word, when you actually share God's word, you know that you're standing on an authoritative source that you do not have to make an excuse for. And there's no errors in here for us to go, oh no, what happened here? We never have to get to a place in where God says, oops, anywhere in Scripture. So now we have Jesus here taking a spit on this guy's eye. And I want to tell you, I walked out. Last night my wife came by and I was at church. And up until last night, I'm struggling with this passage of Scripture, just so Pastor Jordan knows that. I'm out on the front parking lot, I'm spitting. And I'm like, Jesus just spit in the man's eye. I mean, just he spit in his face. And you know, some people believe, and a lot of the old folks do, that spit has healing capabilities. And if you look online, there's a bunch of them. A lot of my grandmother used to let the dogs lick her wounds. She used to gag me out, but when we were boys, we'd cut ourselves, we'd lick the blood. You guys ever do that? Why are y'all looking? Whoever did that, raise your hand. All right, a few of you know what I'm talking about. But there's healing qualities, actually, in the Middle East especially. They believe there's healing qualities in saliva. And there's some technical stuff that I'm not giving you advice today, so if you lick yourself and get infected, that's not on me, okay? Not free medical advice, I'm just telling you what I read. Well, what we understand is Jesus, he spit in the man's face. He spit on his eyes and he touched him. But I want you to see, before Jesus ever touched him, someone had to bring the man to Jesus. Well, a homecoming today, maybe somebody invited you to homecoming today. So listen, come eat free barbecue, come eat a cake. I've never preached, I'll be honest with you, except for weddings. I've never preached in the same room when there's a big three-tier cake looking at me. Just so you know. And smell coming out of the kitchen. Isn't that awesome? That'll make you preach faster. That's why I'm talking so fast. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus has now crossed over Sea of Galilee. He's come to this Bethsaida, the place that he visited often. And it's at the very top, if you're looking at the map, it's to the top right, if you will. It's to the west of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has come there for a purpose. Everything that Jesus Christ did in his word, he did on purpose. Every single thing. He had a mission. He said, I hear from God the Father, and I do exactly what he says to do. Every time he speaks, I obey him. If you don't believe me, believe the works, because I do the works on behalf of the Father. Every time Jesus spoke, he spoke on behalf of the Father, every single time. He was actually obedient to God the Father, because you say, well, who's stronger, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. God is God. Amen. Do you understand him completely? I don't. I've been in ministry now over 20 years. I still don't fully understand God. If I knew everything about God, that would make me what? God. Well, I love when you talk with an atheist, and especially living in our town with a nuclear plant, you get all these smart people, much smarter than I am, and they say, oh, there is no God. And I said, well, Psalm 14:1 says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So you're a moron if you don't believe there's a God, right? According to what our authoritative source says, you're a big dummy no matter what a PhD follows your name. Is that true? Stackwell, my friend from Africa, says PhD stands for permanent head damage in Kenya. For what it's worth, it's actually worth, listen, there's smart people who actually have missed God's word and they've come to the place. And I believe education is very important, especially for everybody that can get as much as you can get. But don't ever leave out God's word. Amen. Don't ever get away from this. So here comes Jesus, watch. They come to Bethsaida, they brought a blind man to him and he begged him to touch him. Please touch him, because we've heard that you can actually do miracles. We've heard of the feeding of the 5,000. We've heard of the feeding of the 4,000. We've heard of all these miracles that you're doing. And by the way, every time Pastor Jordan preaches or you hear a preacher preach, always read before and after the story. You actually get the story in context. So we're jumping right in the middle of the story. So what does Jesus do? He took the blind man by the hand. Instead of making a scene there in the city, he takes him out of the village. He takes him out to get him alone with he and the disciples. He spends time with him one-on-one. And friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ, he wants to spend some time with you today. Your friend or your family members might have brought you here. Grandma might have said come to homecoming. But listen, you came here today because Jesus wants to spend time with you. Amen. He wants to know you one-on-one. He wants to take you by the hand. He wants to lead you out of that private place and spend time with you. You might be blind because of your sin. You might be blind because of a sickness. You might be blind because of financial situations. Whatever it might be, you might be the blind man in the story today. Now, this story was real. There was a real blind man, and I couldn't understand why did Jesus take two times to heal. Every time Jesus ever touched anybody, he healed them right away. He raised the dead. He cast out demons with one word or one touch. It always happened on the one touch. And I could not get past this, why Jesus took two times to heal this man. Watch what he does. He took the blind man by the hand. He brought him out of the village, spitting on his eyes and laying on his hands. He asked him, do you see anything? He basically washed his eyes with his spit. Do you see anything? The man opens his eyes and says, I see. He's obviously running into trees, being a man, right? He's walked around the place. There's trees. He's hit trees before. He knows what trees are. That's how you learn. So he knows what trees are, and he knows what men's voices are and men being around. He said, I see. What does it say in your word? I see men. Do you see anything? I see people, and they look like trees walking. Did he see giants? No. He saw fuzzy figures is what he saw. Well, I couldn't figure out, why did Jesus not give him full sight? And Jesus is actually setting up a very direct example for you and me and for the disciples there directly, but us as we stand later and see, how do we see Jesus sometimes? Sometimes we see Jesus, you just come to Jesus and all your worries will be gone. You just come to Jesus, he'll make your life better. You keep doing all your bad habits, but just come to Jesus and he'll love you through them. He'll forgive you. He will forgive you of your sins. We sing, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Listen, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Is that true? Jesus don't want you just to give up your bad habits. He wants you to die to yourself. He wants you dead. He wants a dead man walking, a dead woman walking. He wants a new person to die. So do you have to give up your sins to become a Christian? The answer is absolutely yes. You got to turn your back, and the word repentance is changing your thinking about God. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, I am chief. of sinners. Well, this example here is how we come to Jesus. How many times did you get introduced to Jesus before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Usually people don't accept him on the first go round. They're thinking, not me, I'm too unclean, I'm too whatever. They fill in the blank and say, I'm not worthy. But here's what the Lord's saying today. In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image, in the image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were made perfect in the image of God. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, that separated us from God's love. But listen, all those years of killing all those millions of lambs and goats and all the different animals they killed to cover their sin, the Bible said Jesus Christ is coming. The Old Testament, throughout the whole Old Testament, if you want to understand the Old Testament, says he is coming. He is coming. The Messiah is coming.
Amen.
And then the New Testament says he has come. He died on the cross. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And it says he's coming again.
Amen.
Amen? That's what the Bible's all about. You want to sum the Bible up? He's coming, he came, and he's coming again. Don't forget, that's what the Bible sums up. Well, this man here sees Jesus. He comes in, he sees clouds, see men walking around. How do we see Jesus? Maybe a little cloudy. And his disciples knew about Jesus. They've been hanging out with him. They've seen his miracles. And then he's going to ask him, if you keep reading, of course, I don't have time for today, but y'all, you guys will get into it if you keep going to Mark. He goes, haven't I been with you long enough? Because he actually blesses Peter, because Peter says, listen, you're the Messiah. And Jesus is like, you don't get that on your own, Peter. The Holy Spirit showed you that. And then if you keep reading, I'm going to go ahead and give away the sermon next week or the week after. Jesus turns back around and calls Peter, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. How would you like that? The Holy Spirit showed you that, Satan. It don't seem like it goes together, does it? Peter was ready. What would happen if some pastor I read or said, hey, if these men had been turned loose to tell about Jesus, what would they have told? Man, he could feed you, right? All the good things we do today. He could feed you food that he didn't have. He fed people fish that had never been in the ocean. Fish had never been living. Wheat that had never been planted. Did you know the loaves and fishes that you guys talked about? That wheat had never grown in any ground. It was just miraculously there. Those fish had never swam in any water. They were just miraculously there. He created dead fish. Does that make any sense?
Amen.
He created lunch. Don't you ladies wish you could do that occasionally at homecoming, right? That's a lot of work. It didn't just happen. You need to tell a lot of people thank you, by the way, for homecoming. There's a lot of labor of love that goes into it.
Amen.
But what I want you to understand, when Jesus came to this blind man, the blind man's a picture of his disciples. They knew Jesus, and some old pastor said they would have, if they'd been cut loose by this, if they'd been given the Great Commission right now, they would have started putting bumper stickers on donkeys saying, Jesus is the way, right? Don't we do that today? The biggest fear, I taught Sunday school this morning to our adult class, the biggest fear many Christians have today is sharing their faith. I might be rejected. So what? The worst thing that someone can do is kill you, put a gun to your head and shoot you. If you share the gospel and they accept Christ, you win. If they shoot you in the head and you die, you win. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, we cannot lose. Amen?
Amen.
There's no way we can lose. So why do we have fear of sharing our faith? It's because we don't have confidence in the Word of God. So look, Jesus performed a miracle causing a blind man to see. Verse 22, someone introduced the blind man to Jesus, and maybe somebody introduced you to Jesus today. I want to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. The choir has presented to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the children's sermon today, you've heard that God forgives you, and I want to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone brought you here. I'm not Jesus, but I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Verses 23 through 24 shows Jesus had compassion for the man, and he healed him. And like I said, I wrote down it takes two touches. Why two? Well, because Jesus is giving them a visual picture. The men who can see, he's giving them a visual picture of who they are. They've been with him, but they're still walking around blind. And they can see fuzzy. They know a little bit about Jesus, but they don't know everything about Jesus. Because when they start being revealed everything about Jesus, what does he do? He cuts them loose on the world, and the Bible says they turn the world upside down. It even says they were uneducated men. When they got in trouble in the book of Acts, you go and look, they got beaten for their faith, and they rejoiced. And they prayed for holy boldness. Lord, would you shake the place where we are because they beat us for the name of Jesus Christ? How many of us would take a beating today for the name of Jesus Christ and rejoice? We'd come to the place and go, I can't believe, you won't believe what happened at work today. They don't tell me I'm going to fire if I don't go to diversity training, right? Diversity training. I could not work in a government office anymore today, I'm going to be honest with you. Thank God I'm in the ministry. I couldn't do it. I could not sit through diversity training. I just couldn't. Because homosexuality is a sin. If you don't know your gender, listen, go to the bathroom and I'll get one of the nurses or doctors going with you and they'll tell you really quick. what you are, right? It's a very clear thing. Just because you think you're something, you can sit in the garage all day and think you're a car and rev your engine, but you'll never be a car. And I'm very serious about that. People spend time saying, well, my friend is so confused. My brother, my son, whoever it might be, and I'm sorry if you've got family members or loved ones in that. But sin is sin is sin is sin. But God has spoken very clearly about sin. We must tell the truth in love, not in anger, not in frustration. We must tell the truth in love. Listen, that this is sin. God's authoritative word says this is sin. Don't live like this. And if you are a Christian and you have gotten into sin, he says, listen, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, read it for yourself. That's for the believer. Well, listen, while the two touches, one because it's a picture of our blind faith sometimes. We see Jesus and we just say, he's good, he's good, he's good. And we never tell people the hard stuff. And the hard stuff sometimes makes us uncomfortable because in the church, by the way, did you know that the Bible tells us as church members to bear one another's burdens? When you go through a hardship, I should come out of pocket with my money and I should help you. Amen? The tithe is not coming out of pocket helping somebody else. The tithe is the Lord's. That comes, if you're not giving 10% of your money to the Lord's work here at the Lathe, if this is your home church, then you're sinning against God, I believe. You say, well, Pastor, they don't say in the New Testament. Everybody loves to say, it don't say give 10% New Testament. Well, do you want an unbelieving Jew in the Old Testament to give more money than you do to the Lord's work? Malachi 3:10 says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that you can't stand it. That's God speaking to his people. So my question, I asked, we got into this argument at Town Creek, and some of the older deacons that were wiser than me, preacher, don't say, you just got to give 10% to the Lord's work. I said, no, don't. I said, but is tithing biblical? Amen. Come on, church, is tithing biblical? Is it found in the Bible? So therefore, it's biblical. Is that true? Yes. Don't argue with me Old Testament, New Testament. Is it biblical? The answer is yes. And if you want to compare it to the Jews, they were given sometimes 20, 30, up to 60% of their income. The Lord's simply not saying, I want some of your money. Because your money, by the way, is his money. Your job is his job. Your family is his family. Everything that you own, he gave it to you. Even the very, watch this, we do it every occasion. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. Compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Everything that you have belongs to him. Young people, old people, everything that you have belongs to him. Amen. He loans it to you and says, listen, will you be faithful enough to give it to me? Your house, he wants it. Your car, he wants it. Your stuff, he wants it. He wants it. Then he says, now, here, I'm going to give it back to you. Now, go be a good steward. Go use it for my glory. Go bring people to the kingdom for my name's sake. Brag on Jesus every time you brag. Amen. Jesus touched the former blind man and he warned him, what did he say? Don't go make this popular. Some King James, New King James says, don't go back into the village and tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Why? It wasn't time. It wasn't time. Today we act like these people. We act like Jesus has told us, don't tell anyone about the gospel. Right? Because we're going to look what he says about the disciples. If you go and look at the second part. Go up to verse 27 with me again. They're taking a walk. Now, listen, I looked at the distance between this. It's about 25 to 30 mile walk. Could you imagine doing that? What would you talk about with Jesus for 25 or 30 miles? He's going to get in your business, isn't he? This is God. He's going to talk to you, and he's going to try to make you understand what he's trying to want you to understand. So you got a 25 mile hike with Jesus, and they're heading to Caesarea Philippi. From Bethsaida, they're heading up. Well, guess where they're going? I'm going to give away Pastor Jordan's sermon again in a couple weeks. They're going to the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus has got a place to go. Everywhere he went in Scripture, everything that he did on purpose and went on purpose. Amen? Every time you see him, when Jesus moves, don't just take it for granted, and he went to the other side. Why did he go to the other side? Because he said, I'm going to the other side. Amen? He's the authoritative source of the Word. He is the Word, the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. So Jesus went out with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, verse 27, and on the road he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Could you imagine? He already knows what their answer is going to be. He knows everything. He's God. Jesus said, who do people say that I am? Well, what if we had an interview before you could even get a plate of barbecue today, and somebody said, tell me who Jesus is. Well, he's God's son. We get all nervous, wouldn't we? Our palms get sweaty. You mean I got to pass a test in church? You pass a test or fail a test every single day in life. If you're living for Jesus Christ, you're passing the test. Don't fear. What do you have to fear? Death? Absent from the body where? Present with the Lord if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then fear overtakes you. You don't know what to do. You come to church, you're religious, just like the Pharisees were, and you say, but the rule says, and you always want to throw the rule out there. This is what the rule says. And listen, this is what God says. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. It goes on the list, does it not? Continues to tell us how we should live. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God, through me, lives out my life. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live like it's Jesus Christ who lives through me. Do I sin and mess up? Well, my wife's right here, my mama's here, my brother's here, my sister's here, and so are my family. They can tell you affirmatively, I've sinned against God. And I have to ask for forgiveness many times from other people. My wife says I say the right thing the wrong way every single time I talk. So forgive me ahead of time. Let me get us close to the end here. Jesus prepared his disciples for ministry. They were not yet ready to be released. Jesus asked his disciples a probing question. Who do people say that I am? What did they say? And look at verse 28. This is exactly what we do today because we're foggy. We don't clearly see who Jesus is. We still have that foggy blind man. I see trees. I see people walking around like trees. Who do you see when you pass by? Do you see a lost man, a lost woman, a lost boy or girl? Or do you see people? This is just our society. Let me ask this question. Is our society better now than it was 10 years ago, or is it worse? Is the church better now or worse than it was 10 years ago? It's exactly the same. The church hasn't changed. The people of God are still sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The religious people are getting worse because they fall in the world. Understand? There are people show up every Sunday in every church, and they're living just like the devil Monday through Saturday and come in here and sing the same songs we sing, listen to preaching, and then they go back out and live the same way. No one wants to be like that person. That's why the Bible calls you the big hypocrite, right? No one wants to be like that. Party on the weekends and then come to church and sing the same songs I sing. God forbid, Paul says, that we should sin, saying, oh, well, grace abounds in my life. You should be ashamed of yourself. You live in your... Listen, we told Town Creekers, if you live like the devil, if you're living like hell 6 days a week, tell everybody you're a Muslim. Don't tell them you're a Christian, and don't tell them that you're from Town Creek Baptist Church. tell them you're something different, please. Don't say, I love Jesus and I go to Town Creek. If you're living like the devil, tell them you belong somewhere else, to a cult or something else. Tell them you belong to another religion. Don't tell them you're a Christian. Don't shame the name of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, brag on Jesus every chance you get. Live for Jesus every chance you get. Share the love of Jesus Christ every chance you get. If you're living like the devil, listen, you belong to the devil. The Bible says you're known by your fruits. Jesus said in Matthew 7, look at it for yourself, what Jesus himself said, you'll know them by their fruits. That's another sermon for another day. Maybe I had to come back, Pastor Jordan. Verse 28, Jesus' disciples responded with a mixed answer. Here's what we do. We do the same thing. If we polled the audience today and you could lock in your answer, we'd have a mixed answer, wouldn't we? Who is Jesus? He's the Christ, the Savior, right? And if it comes from this word, it's true. Well, let me tell you who Jesus is based on my experience. Your experience does not matter if it does not line up with the word of God. That's how cults get started. Did you know that? Finally, verses 29 through 30, Jesus asked his disciples a follow-up question that we must answer today. Who do you say that I am? Are you a witness to your family? You say, well, some of my family members that I love have gone on and I didn't have a chance, or I didn't take the chance. Listen, God will forgive you. But what about today? What about today we sit around this table? We'll actually be around tables. We'll be together. What about today? Will you commit to the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, Lord, today I will stand for the name of Jesus Christ no matter what it takes. This homecoming is just a homecoming to come together and see loved ones we haven't seen in a while. But one day there's going to be a home going for you. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You're going to be held accountable by the words that you hear and by the actions that you do. Do you understand that? You have no excuse now of being a blind man saying, Jesus is just love. Jesus is love. Jesus is love. He is love, but he's also judgment. Christmas and Easter are two of the worst days for a human. Christmas said, the Lord said he's coming. And we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, don't we? Every year we sing the Christmas songs and we sing about his coming. Listen, when he came, he's bringing together salvation, but he's also bringing judgment. Because once he's come, he lived as a man with no sin. And then Easter, we celebrate. Easter celebrations, we'll have Easter pageants, Easter cantatas. We'll have crosses in the yards. We'll have all kind of stuff saying Easter celebration, Easter everything. And then there'll be a gospel message preached, and we'll walk out the same way we came in. Easter is judgment day, folks. If he truly rose from the grave, he rose. And listen, you're going to stand before him. And everybody, every single human that's ever been born will face the Lord Jesus Christ one day, either as their Savior or as their judge. There is no middle way. Matthew 7, Jesus said, there is no excuse. But Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. This is strong words, folks. This is strong words from the Word of God. If you don't believe this is the authoritative source, you'll miss it. But let me ask you today, who do you say that Jesus is? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? He told the disciples, hey, don't tell anybody. Why? Because it wasn't time. He told the blind man, don't go tell anyone. Why? Because it wasn't time. And then finally, when he's resurrected on the mountain, he says, listen, now go to all the nations. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And to teach them everything I taught you. And remember, I'm always with you to the end of the age. He promised never to leave us. He promised never to forsake us. We serve a good, good God. Amen?
Amen.
But listen, don't miss it today. If you're the blind man, blind woman in here today, you've heard about Jesus, but you say, well, you don't understand my life. It's complicated. I know the one who made you. And I know the sin choices that you can make. Because you can make the worst person on the planet or worst person that ever lived. You can do whatever they've ever done. But you can also be like the people and even this man, this boy right here, this young man, this old man now getting older. As I progress through, I give my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, listen, I can stand before you as a former Talitha member and a young man. When I came here, I was not a Christian. Everybody thought I was. Well, most people that knew me didn't think I was. But listen, when I was 21 years old, God brought me to my knees through a near-death experience. And I want to tell you, I can stand before you today and tell you I know that I know that I know that I've given my heart and life to Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Well, somebody says I died, listen, there'll be some celebration from some people say he's out of the way. But listen, don't weep because I'm going to be in heaven.
Amen.
That's the good news about being a Christian. I don't have to stress. I don't have to worry. There's bad days. I have bad days like everyone else. But I don't have to worry. I'm no longer the blind man. Jesus has touched me. Listen, I've been healed, but I want to ask you the question. Have you? Are you sharing your faith? Are you living for Jesus Christ? This homecoming, don't waste today on just sitting here. Make sure you know that you know that you know you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. This is the place where business with God is done. The invitation Pastor Jordan's going to give, we do business with God. Every Sunday we invite you, hey, would you come and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care who's looking. I don't care who's thinking about me. I want to get between me and you, Lord, and I want to be right. So many people are sitting in church and they're lost. Many of our deacons, our trustees, even my worship minister got saved since I've been there 8.5 years. It's amazing. You can sit in church your whole life. You can be up front and be lost. But do you know that you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Let me pray for us. Father God, we have come to this place. We've lifted up our voices to you and telling you that we love you. Father, we know that you love us because of what you've done for us at Calvary.
Thank you, Lord.
We can't help but say thank you this morning. But Father, I can't help but think there's some people that come into this room today that came because this is just a fun family reunion. And Father, this is a temporary family reunion today because without Christ, they will never be with their loved ones who have gone before them into heaven or the ones that are around them that are going to heaven. And Father, we know that we have an appointment on your calendar one day to see you face to face. Father, I pray for these men, women, boys, and girls, for the children that went to Children's Church. I pray, Lord, that you would have they would have an encounter with you, that you would remove the blindness from their eyes, and they might see Jesus clearly, Lord, and live for you every day of their life. I pray this in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.